Good evening, all. We will call the meeting to order. Councillor Jones, I believe you have the moment of reflection.
I do. Please join me in a moment of reflection. May we cherish and protect the freedom and peace that we enjoy in Clarington. May we be mindful of the cost of freedom and peace. May our deliberations be respectful, and may our decisions be informed and wise. May our work be focused on and lead us toward the betterment of our communities. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor. Come back, Andy. Well, once again, good evening, all. For those that are in the back, if you are having a hard time hearing us, let us know. The sound system is every now and again a wee bit wonky. So I know Councillor Hooper was here the other night and describing how difficult it is to hear. I just stole the clerk's. I'm amazed I still have a hand. It's okay. She's laughing about that, not mad at me, so it's good. Do we have any declarations of interest? Councillor Neal.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Item number 32, the General Government Committee report, as I sit on the board of that home base term.
All right, thank you.
So I have an indirect interest.
Nope.
All right. Seeing no other, Councillor Terrell, you are up on announcements first.
No announcements, thank you.
No announcements. Councillor Short.
No announcements.
Councillor Anderson.
No announcements.
Councillor Hooper, you are going to break the run, aren't you?
Not tonight. No announcements.
Wow. Okay. Councillor Jones.
No announcements.
Councillor Neal.
Mr. Chair, do I get to say anything about our retiring Director of Community Services, or are you reserving a different slot for that?
Are you going to say nice things about him?
Mostly.
Mostly. Okay, as long as it's just mostly. Okay. Please go right ahead.
Anyway, I just wanted to extend my congratulations to Mr. Carwan. It's kind of an end of an era for certainly probably, I don't think there's anybody who's been around as long as Mr. Carwan, but I have the unique, I guess, privilege of probably knowing Mr. Carwan the longest of anybody here. So I was actually in his original primary school. And I think I was in kindergarten or something like that, and he was in grade 8, and he was this great big guy, I remember. And I also used to be in his house because we were friends with his younger brother, but I've known the Carwanas a long time, and I'm certainly going to miss all the friendly interactions with Joe, especially when he got excited with me if I was pulling something out of his budget or something like that. But anyway.
So did I hear that he coached you when you were in kindergarten?
No, I don't. Well, yeah, public speaking. Anyway.
Still coaching him, Your Worship.
Yeah, there you go. So anyway, congratulations, Joe, and I will miss you. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Councillor. I've got a couple of announcements, and I might need some help from a few of you on these. I think everyone here knows, but we are here this evening as opposed to being at the Metrolinx Bowmanville Go expansion that is being held in Clarington because there is a council meeting. However, tomorrow night in Oshawa at the Oshawa Civic Rec Complex from 6 to 8, there is a meeting. I know that our voice was heard loud and clear tonight. Our voice will be heard loud and clear again tomorrow night. Thursday evening, Councillor Terrell, I don't know if you can help. Are there still tickets available for Bethesda House?
No, that's why I didn't announce
all
it.
All right.
There's actually a wait list of six.
So good on Bethesda House for a really successful fundraiser. Friday at 1:45, we will be doing the opening of the Viola Leger. That's the French language school on Ontario Street. So you're certainly all invited to come out and congratulate the French language school board on that. On Saturday at 12:45, 2021 Green Road is the opening of the Green Road Dental. So if you want to celebrate white teeth, healthy teeth, I don't know, come on out to that, please. And on Sunday at 11 o'clock at the Bowmanville Memorial Park, is the walk and fun fair to cure Huntington's disease. And that is always a really well-organized event and just an excellent, excellent cause. And that is what I have for you this evening. That and, despite my e-agenda, still too much paper. Okay, this takes us into the minutes. Councillor Trail.
Sorry, it was hiding. This is moved by myself and seconded by Councillor Sword. That the minutes of the regular meeting of the council held on April 29th, 2019 be approved, and that the minutes of the special meeting of council held on May 1st, 2019 be approved.
Thank you. Do we have any questions, comments, errors, or omissions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you. That takes us into presentations. We're going to wait just a little bit. I don't see Louise Foster, who is here representing Tribute. So I know that they're at the GO event tonight. So I'll take a motion to alter the agenda and to deal with the delegations first. Councillor Jones, thank you. Seconded by Councillor Trail. Did I see your hand up, Councillor Trail? Yep, perfect. So motion to alter the agenda. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Which takes us then to 7.1, EB Biesenthal and PI Tools, and this is with regards to EGD-009-19. Ms. Biesenthal, welcome. Please come forward.
Thank you. I'm here today to represent the business owners of the Curtis Court Industrial Park. And I am here with great news. Two of the businesses, AWC and RLM Manufacturing, are ready to expand. They require water and sewer connection. Since 2018, three new businesses from the Toronto area made their choice to relocate in Curtis, and they are ready to build. From the three new businesses, I have to put this in, Clarington Tax Department will receive approximately $150,000 per year. And we will grow, and Clarington's cash flow will grow. So it's a win-win situation. The existing businesses are excited about the growth of our community. This wouldn't have happened if Clarington Board of Trade wouldn't have helped out. We thank you for bringing us together, meeting with us, providing information, encouraging us, and most of all, listening to us. Without you, those businesses may not have connected with us. So Sheila and Bonnie, I don't know if you're here, thank you for being there for us. At the end of the last meeting, our business group was disappointed. I was challenged. And you all made me think. I was amazed about how little some of you knew about this industrial court that's been there for over 40 years. This is not a new development. This development 40 years ago, the development fee was paid. This is a development left behind, waiting for water and sewer services. On the positive side, we have a strong history. Many of you have heard this story, and I hope that you get inspired, understanding how I feel as I share my passion for this area. 41 years ago, a sign was put up by the 401, and it said, lots for sale, Curtis Industrial Park. PI Tool made its home at One Progress Drive as a result of that sign. Within 1 year, two more businesses, our neighbors from Oshawa, moved to Curtis to be our neighbors again. These buildings now house AWC and DITEC. We believed in this area. However, there was no water, no sewer service, and no natural gas. Oh, yes, the internet was not invented yet. In 1996, PI Tool put on an addition. The same year, natural gas came. It was available to us. In 2016, we expanded again with the understanding that water and sewer services are coming again. We believed and we are waiting. Currently, there are 9 business owners in that industrial park and over 150 employees in our little court. And there's more to come. Adam Davy from Davy Truck put his plan on hold. He housed the construction and the tunneling of sewer and water mains in this area. Today, he needs water and sewer to build. He believes in growth and sharing. Adam, thank you. VMR Transportation is ready to build. They need services. Multitech Machine and Tool Welding is ready to build. They need services. Did you know that in the past, Did you know that in the past year, 7 out of the 9 businesses had no water since 2018? Wells are empty. They went dry when construction started in 2018. 11 landowners said yes to this project. As you can see, six said no. 2 of the lots are owned by MTO. 1, Waste Management. They are the ones who need the water the most, believe me. And there are 3 small business owners that can't afford it at this point. But we're strong 11 and waiting if we want to grow. We are ready to pay our share and receive the necessary services. But landowners are not willing to sign and carry financial burden for the non-participants. We believe that Curtis Court is a desired place for businesses if water and sewer services are available. It's time that council demonstrates their belief in our area. If you can't believe in this area will not grow. We believe, yes, we believe that you can make it happen even tonight. So join us as we believe that it's worth the wait of 40 years. Mayor Foster, thank you for visiting us, answering our phone calls in your busy day, but most of all, for understanding our needs. Councillor Neal, you challenged me. You inspired me. Thank you for taking time to visit us. Your interest in our community showed, and it's very much appreciated. Councillor Jones, thank you for replying and to our request for coming to visit us. We appreciate it. Ron Albright is missing, but we can't, that we need to say one thing. His ongoing effort with this project is very much appreciated. We hope that Ron will continue to collaborate and make it a better place. If we believe, the agreement will be simple. We thank you.
Ms. Wiesenthal, thank you. Don't go anywhere. There might be questions from members of council. Members of council, do you have any questions? Councillor Anderson.
Thank you for your presentation, and I support the project, as you know, but there are concerns, and we wouldn't be doing due diligence if we don't express those concerns. And it's really not fair to you that some there's some buying and some are not buying in, because with water and sewer, property value increases, so they're going to benefit directly. But we look at the jobs, and I'm a great supporter of economic development within our region, and so you have my support there, but there are those concerns, and it's not any councillor that didn't go along at first. They're just doing due diligence in doing so.
That was that a did you know question, Councillor Anderson?
So, you know, so my question is to you, have you reached out to those others that are not participating to make sure they're on side and let them know the importance of this to the entire community down there?
Have we? Yes, we have. And I'm not a great politician. I say it as it is. The most disappointing one was for me waste management.
Yeah.
Extremely disappointing when they said if it's under 120 grand, may consider. But actually, they send their health and safety rep for our meetings.
So, thank
you. We don't know what to say, but I don't think that's our job. I don't know if the sprinklers are working. All I know is in 2018, when we finished our building and we stuccoed it, our color changed because of the fire.
Thank you for the presentation, as I alluded to earlier on.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have anything further? Councillor Neal.
Yeah, just through the chair, Ms. Wiesenthal. So my understanding then is the original report talked about the participating owners having to pay a share after year 10, but the landowners aren't interested in that part of it. Okay, all right.
That is a definite no.
Okay.
So some of them are building, they have a mortgage, they refuse to put another mortgage or lean towards their building as they're expanding.
I see, okay.
Thank you.
All right, do we have anything further? Wiesenthal, just a quick, so there was a recommendation that we dealt with at the GG meeting, and that recommendation is what you would hope that Clarington is moving forward with, but council, so that you see some light at the end of the tunnel?
We're looking forward to it very much.
Okay, and is it fair, while questions were asked and good questions, in my dialogue with you, with Arthur, the business community was, I'm going to use the word disappointed, with the way that meeting spun out.
Well, you need to understand that I am the one that least needs it. My septic works. I actually, from Progress Drive, they did put in water for me 3 feet away if I pay my $25,000 or whatever. After they do my work, I give them the money, I'll have water. My septic is running. But I'm looking at the future. It was so exciting to see us grow, and it wasn't growing. And all of a sudden, it's right there. The whole court, where you see Progress Drive, that's where the tunneling went. It's right there, right front of our nose. And we're willing to pay. In fact, I just want you to know that I did believe. I went and got the engineering done out of my own money. So if you say yes today, guess what? Tomorrow, we can start going. Our side, the west side of Curtis Court, we're ready to go. And then we have where it's the 2MTO and further up that lot, they already have their equipment there ready to dig. Adam, he's been waiting 2 years on this going back and forth. He held up because the region was using his lot. We're ready to go.
Good. Well, thank you. Thank you for all of the work that you've done. It is really appreciated.
It brought our community together because we believe, being by the 401, it's time to show what Clarington is about.
I love it.
That's what I would love to see.
Thank you. All right. And our next delegate is Mr. Richard Ward, and that's with regards to confidential report LGL-009-19 with respect to flooding in Kendall. Mr. Ward, welcome.
Good evening, members of council, your worship. There's still no resolve to it. On the 18th of March, bylaw was out, and they should have considered the fill bylaw. 3.2a of the fill bylaw specifically stipulates, because they built their house on a renovation permit, there's no control of what they do on their property. They can only fill to within 1 foot of the road allowance. They filled right out onto the pavement. 3.2a of the fill bylaw should have been considered on the 18th of March. The only remedy to this solution is to restore it back to what it was, the swale or the ditch that ran across their driveway is the only way to deal with it, unless you want to spend $3 or $4 million on storm sewers, whereas the previous speaker, their concerns are much more pertinent to the situation. The staff is coming tomorrow morning. They were going to put a culvert to the north, but I told them there's no fall. So rather than do something, Clint and Steve are coming out tomorrow morning. They're going to shoot the elevations, show you where they want to put the culvert. This is what the woman in the house said. After they caused all this trouble, they said, well, if there was a culvert going north, the water would go there. Well, it would, but there's no fall. There's absolutely no fall to take the water away. That's why it ran in the swale system that it did. The culvert that they're proposing in the last few weeks is to run north across Monk Street, but here's the ditch, here's where the culvert comes in. Water doesn't jump up about 2 feet. We'll have the exact measurements tomorrow. But why the bylaw officer didn't consider the fill bylaw? She told this homeowner, she's allowed to fill in the homeowner told me she was told she was allowed to fill in the ditch, allowed to flood me out, and nothing I could do about it. And this is like 2.5 months. This is what the woman in the house said. I don't know what's real. Bylaw never spoke to me. I would have told her they blocked the swale and reversed the flow of the water. The water comes south down the street, hits their driveway, runs north, across the street to me. The first time, the Great Hall's been there 7 days. I could have done this with a shovel in an hour to drain the water, let the water go by their driveway like it used to. The first time they came, I said, here's pictures. Here's where the blockage is. They refused to look at the pictures, and they went on and they dug it. The homeowner was there, and he said, that's original ground, that's original. It wasn't original ground. So they left it too high. Then on the 26th of April, I had 6 inches of water at my front door again, 6 weeks to the day from the 15th of March. They then come back and dug up too much. So it's not rocket science. The water used to flow by their property. There was always a pond on the corner, the same way I have a pond on the corner of Dickey and Monk. It's just the way it is. It goes away in a couple of days. Their pond goes away in a couple of days. they tried to drain the corner, which made what they did too deep, but their driveway is way up. They have a ditch to go through. The only way to solve this problem is to restore the swale that existed before they filled it in, contrary to the fill bylaw, 3-2A. Really simple. They can't fill closer than 1 foot to the road allowance. They went 8 feet. They went out onto the pavement. And I'm just flabbergasted that it could go on this long without any resolve. I don't know anybody that thinks they can fill in a ditch and reverse a water course and not have any consequences. When you receive the legal report for information, that means no further action to be taken. How the fill by law 3-2A cannot be considered is beyond me. And I was just pretty disappointed with the receive for information of a legal report. I didn't need a copy. I understand it's confidential, but to generate no action or to pursue the how can these people cause this much trouble without any consequences, and I become the victim of their actions? And I'll leave it at that. It's 3-2A, fill by law. This is what has to be restored. There's no other solution. The staff is coming tomorrow. They're both really, they're trying hard, Steve and Clint. No problem with either one. They're both fed false and misleading information. The truth is the truth. Water runs downhill, doesn't run uphill, no matter what they've been dealing with. Clint's been in a hard spot because of the information he's received about the matter. No one listens to me. I see it perfectly clear, but I seem to be the only one. I'll reiterate, the only remedy, because when we hit next winter, the water is going to come over. There's no capacity left. The swale is gone. They dug a little wee bit of it out, and it should be restored back to what it was before they filled it in. And I don't know how they can do this without consequences. And I'll leave it at that. Thank you,
Mr. Ward. Thank you, members of council. Do we have any questions?
Thank you.
Hang on for 1 second, Councillor Neal.
So through the chair. So Mr. Ward, is the flooding stop that was happening at your house, or the house you're occupying?
Yes, temporarily, okay. But the remedy is not sustainable. They dug a ditch that they just can't leave what they've left. What they've left is not acceptable by any municipal standard.
You say they? Who's they?
The town workers.
What they left was not acceptable?
They overdug the ditch. They tried to drain a pond on the corner. There's 6 inches of fall. They wasted 4 of it because this woman said she had a pond on the corner. Well, that's reality. If they wasted 4 inches of the 6 inches of fill or fall they had getting down the street, so it's one great big pond now again, and it's deep and steep. It's got to be restored to back to the elevation of the swale that existed before they filled it in. This has been 150 years. This has been there, and all of a sudden somebody moves in from the city and thinks they're going to change everything, and it can't be left the way it is. It's just that simple. The remedy they have tomorrow, Clint's been on holidays, is to put a culvert. Show me the invert on the high end of the culvert. Show me the bottom end. The invert on the culvert in the ditch is 2 feet below the ditch. There's no way of recovering any more along Monk Street. They will know in about 15 minutes tomorrow morning. Once they set it up, I'll show them how it works. And then the only conclusion is to go back, which should have been done on the 18th of March, not 3 months later. I went through the whole, we had an extensive melt season, as that's why all the flooding all over Ontario. They would, it 6 weeks to the day, I've still got 6 inches of water. This is not rocket science. Water runs downhill. You fill it in, it can't go downhill. And it came to me, the damages, I just haven't been able to calculate them all. It's just, I can't believe it's gotten this far over such a stupid thing, and how they could be allowed to do this is totally, totally beyond me. I don't know anyone that would do this. And then ignore it. Anyway, they're coming tomorrow. They're going to find out it doesn't work. I'll explain to them that it has to be restored. And but they're getting no support from their input, local input. I've explained it all. I'm 100% right. Means nothing. They can't leave what's there. Their remedy won't work. The only thing that'll work is to restore the swale that existed before they filled it in, contrary to the fill bylaw, which is, flooding is a pretty serious situation when it's caused by somebody's negligence, and they take the course of action they took. I haven't been able to consider it because they haven't rectified. The initial problem was the flooding. It's still going to flood next year. They can't leave what they've left.
Councillor Neal's got another question, Mr. Ward.
So is the water from their property, like right across the road from you, supposed to go south?
Yes.
Okay. Was there not a sort of a rebuilt or a new culvert put in sort of near that garage to the south of them? Is that doing anything?
Or? They filled their whole yard over 2 feet.
No, but let's...
The rooming house... Can I just ask you about the culvert?
I'm trying to get to the culvert, though.
Okay, the rooming house had 4 feet of water.
I don't know what you mean by the rooming house. Can we stick with the culvert?
That's where the culvert is. The culvert's at the rooming
house.
But
is the water now flowing under that culvert, under the road, and over?
But that's only for the waters that collects in there. They had 4 feet of water in their basement. And I think it's attributable to the fill from this house. You just can't. Anyway, the culvert they put in at the bottom of Hoy for the apartment house, room, whatever it is, that was so that when they pump out their basement, it can get across the street. That was its primary purpose. They had it all driven on, rammed in, blocked up, plugged, and they had a hell of a time. But I think their problem... And other people's, everybody on all four or three sides of this renovation has had difficulty from their.
Thank you.
Your answer, Councillor Neal? Thank you. Mr. Ward, thank you. Do we have any further questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so we can roll back to presentations. Ms. Foster, welcome. Well, you were doing us a service where you were. Thank you for that. So the first is 6.1. So this is Anne-Marie Harley, Brian Mountford. Is Gary here? I don't see Gary around. And Sharon Rose? Nope. From the Gift of Art. And Dion. Oh, there we are. From the Visual Arts Center. And this is the proceeds from the 2019 For the Love of Art Mayor's Gala. Now, we have, you know, a big couple of big checks to give to you, and the really important thing is the little checks that you can actually take to the bank. Jen Stychek has those little checks. Did either of you want to say anything prior to the presentation? Dion is saying I had. Yeah, thank you. All right, well, come on up.
Here?
Perfect.
Okay. I would just like to thank you, Mr. Mayor, for everything you've done. Because this idea of having a gala for the arts for us was an absolute God saver. It just was. It was wonderful. Apart from that, though, it has allowed the love of art to be spread throughout the community and get many more people involved. And so I personally would very much like to thank you from the bottom of my heart. This is my last gala. I won't be here next year, which is kind of exciting for me. But thank you very much for everything you've done for the arts in this community.
Well, I will accept the thanks on behalf of, you know, so many volunteers put so much time in, staff put a huge amount of time in, and I think each and every one of the councillors was out there this year, so it's thank you for that, but it's very much a team thing. So you have big checks. All right. So this is the fun part. So the next presentation, and we've got Louise Foster here on behalf of Tribute, who were the lead sponsors. This could not happen without the sponsors, without lead sponsors, and without the artists who support this so greatly. So Louise, we have a small token of appreciation on behalf of Clarington Council, the Visual Arts Center, as well as a gift of art. All right, so that is actually a pretty amazing thing. So we have already heard from our delegations. The next section is item 8, communications to receive for information. Councillor Anderson on 8.1, which is the Integrity Commissioner's Annual Report. I believe you have that. I believe you are moving that correspondence item 8.1 be received for information.
Correspondence item 8.1 be received for information. Okay, seconded by Councillor Hoop.
Perfect. Questions or comments? Call the question on that. All in support? Opposed? And that is carried. We have one item for direction. That's Durham Region Police with regards to Neighborhood Watch, and that is in the Newport Pebble Beach neighborhood. Councillor Anderson, I believe you've got that as well.
Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Hooper, that staff be directed to cite the ending of the Farewell Trail in the ravine north of Pine. Oh, oh, I have the wrong one, do I?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Hooper, that correspondence item 9.1 be approved as per the agenda.
All right. We have any questions on that? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Councillor Jones, I believe you're up with the committee reports 10.1.1 to 10.1.4.
So moved by myself and seconded by Councillor Hooper that advisory committee reports item 10.1.1 to 10.1.4 be approved.
Okay. Do we have any questions or comments, polls on any of them? Call the question. All in support? Oh, Councillor Hooper.
I just have a question in regards to 10.1.2.
Okay.
Clerk and active minutes from that.
Okay, so beyond 10.1.2, anything? Okay, I'll call the question on the balance. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. So, Councillor Hooper, you're moving 10.1.2?
Yes, movement of
okay, receipt. And Councillor Jones, you're seconding that? Okay, Councillor Hooper?
I just have a question in regards to the committee. I fully support what they do and stuff like that, but I see we have a lot of our staff that are involved with that. Like I see there was 5 members of staff that were on that. Is that normal for a committee to have that number of people from staff on it? And the other was, is it an active transportation in regards to trails, or is it for other things besides trails? That's my question, because, and I don't know who to direct it to. I guess it would be Mr. Canella, probably. And because, like, in my particular ward, I have some issues, and Mr. Canella knows what I'm talking about, regards to Baseline Road and Hunt Street. And I just wondered, are they on the radar too? In regards, we're not just all speaking about, you know, trails and interconnectivity and things like that. Because I see with the map that we had, there was a lot of areas where the flexible bollards have been installed. So, I mean, I get that in regards to safe communities. So are we looking beyond the safe trails or interconnection of the trails and stuff like that? I just don't want it to be focused on trails.
So I'll let Mr. Canella answer, but the easy answer and the quick one is yes, it goes beyond. Mr. Canella?
Yes, it goes beyond. The committee is sort of new, so in terms of what they're doing, they're sort of working their way, establishing themselves, their identity and all. Trails is an issue that is close to everyone's sort of heart right now. But one of the aspects that the committee deals with is safe roads in conjunction. So like any committee, many things are brought to the table by the committee members, but if any councillor had any issues, they can direct them to engineering services, and those issues would be put on the committee agenda for the next meeting for review and outcome.
Thank you for that. I think I'm on speed dial with most of your members of your department, so just leave it there. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
All right. Do we have anything further on that? Seeing none, I call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. So this takes us to item 10.2, which is the General Government Committee on page 51. Councillor Swart.
I recommend that the recommendations contained in the General Government Committee report of May 6th be approved. Okay, but I want to pull one, so.
Okay, and I'm guessing that that's seconded by Councillor Terrell.
Yes.
All right, and you're pulling, Councillor Swart?
Item I from number one, and it's on page 51. It's the grant application from Windreach Farms, which was received for information.
Okay. Councillor Neal?
Yeah, I'm going to pull 1N, number 7, number 32, because I have a conflict, number 42 and 45.
Bear with me 1 minute while I catch up on this thing. Okay, so I've got 1N, which is Mr. Ward, correct? 7, which is the servicing of industrial lands in South Curtis. A couple of people interested in what we do with that tonight. 32, which is your conflict, home base Durham. 42, which is benefit increase charges. And 45 was single-use plastics and garbage bales.
Right, and also number 5, Mr. Chair.
Missed that.
Yeah, I didn't mention it, so.
Ah, that could be why I missed it. You didn't need to admit that. I would have gone along with just missing it. Okay, and that is the budget policy with regards to the Clarington Library. All right, do we have any further polls? Councillor Hooper.
Just number 47 for housekeeping.
So 47 is CLOCA funding?
That's correct.
All right. Anything further? So, Councillor Anderson, you were going to pull H and J.
Yeah, I was going to put H, G, and I, but Councillor Swart pulled I, so I am going to pull H and J for information, which is for information purposes.
Right. All righty. So we have I, H, and J, and N. That's from the grant process. 157. 32, 42, 45, and 47. Anything further?
Also, 1N, Mr. Chair.
Right, yes, I've got that.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Anything else? Call the question on the balance. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Councillor Swart, you're up.
I move that we give $1,252 to Windreach Farms as a municipal grant.
Okay. Look for a seconder, and then the other question, I can't recall what was left.
Second for discussion.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Neal. So before we move ahead, I do not recall what we didn't spend. Mr. Caruana, can you help us?
The balance unspent, $1,252.
Sounds like some math was involved there. Okay, Councillor Swart, your motion, questions, comments?
No, it was just that it was the money that was left, and if we don't spend it, it just disappears. So you made a comment at the last, when we did this, that they bring, they work with Bethesda House and... Mm-hmm. Was a worthwhile cause, so.
All right, thank you. Councillor Hooper, you've got a question.
Yes, thank you. And I don't know whether I great cause, but I thought that I don't know whether it's true that if the money doesn't get used, you lose it. Do we not keep it in advance so if somebody comes forward in regards to through you to no? to Mr. Caruana. I could be wrong in that, and I probably am.
Through the chair, Councillor Hooper, that was our past practice for the last couple of years. We've been trying to maintain a deadline for all applicants, and it's been working fairly well till now.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Councillor Neal.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find the section in here where, does anybody have the page number or where it talks about this, what the program is or whatever? Thank you.
So, Mr. Caruana, we really are going to miss you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, anything further on that motion? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? And that is carried. Thank you. So the next is 1N. Councillor Neal.
I'm going to move a motion that this be moved to the end of the agenda, Mr. Chair.
Okay, and then for discussion in camera, I'm guessing.
Yes, please, yeah.
Okay, so a motion to alter the agenda to move this to the end. Moved by Councillor Neal, seconded by Councillor Hooper. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you. Okay, item 5.
So, Mr. Chair, my motion would be to refer this to the next meeting, which I think is the next general government meeting, where we're actually going to consider the budget policy.
All right. Do we have a seconder on that? Councillor Jones, thank you.
Just the difficulty I have is approving a change to the policy when the policy hasn't really been adopted. So to me, it's the cart in front of the horse. So I'm assuming that if the policy is passed, then this would make sense. But if the policy, the budget policy, isn't passed, then what did we do? We moved an amendment to a policy which was never passed eventually. So I'm just saying it would seem to be more logical to do it that way. That's all. Thank you.
Questions or comments on that? So I'll just make the one it's fine to defer, but I can suggest when it comes forward that I will be supporting this. The library's, you know, taking a hit with some cuts. You know, they get less funding than per capita than any other municipality, and I would hate to see us to start digging into them as well. So when it comes forward, I will absolutely be supporting this, whether we do it tonight or when the policy itself comes forward is immaterial. So I'll call the question on that. All in support? Opposed? And that is carried. All right, the next is 7. This is servicing of industrial lands in South Curtis. Councillor Neal.
Mr. Chair, I do have a motion written out. I'm just wondering if we could move for a 5-minute break.
Okay, so I'll take that motion. You're moving a 5-minute break.
Yes, yeah, and I can distribute copies.
Seconded by Councillor Hooper. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you. Back to order, Councillor Neal.
So I'll move as in a second by Councillor Jones, as written there, Mr. Chair, that Council approved front-ending the water and sewer services for Curtis Court as described in report EGD-009-19, provided that A, the share of the costs for the participating owners is fully recovered, and B, either 1, the Region of Durham provide reasonable assurance to Clarington that no non-participating owner will be allowed to connect to the water and sewer services without first paying Clarington its share of the cost plus interest, or Roman numeral 2, Clarington protect its recovery from non-participating owners by way of a common elements condominium. So I think a lot of the discussion at the committee revolved around how we make sure that anybody that's not participating at this point but doesn't get a free pass here. And the value of their property will go up, presumably, if it's serviced. So I think I did have some discussions with, first of all, Ms. Wiesenthal and Arthur And, you know, it was quite instructive in actually getting the lay of the land down there. And, but there are some lots down there that once the services are there, they probably, hopefully they will turn over and create employment. So it's, hopefully it's a win-win situation. And the money goes back into that fund. And I think we're going to need the region to help us out, and maybe we'll help the region help us out, Mr. Chair. So maybe we need to make sure through our regional government that they are, you know, helping us achieve that objective. And I think it'll be, like I said, a win-win situation for everybody. And I'm looking forward to seeing that court fully built out. And so thank you.
All right. Anything further? So a couple of comments. One, for the business owners. So we will be moving ahead with this, and for the owners that have upfronted their own costs, there is not an expectation that we are going to be recovering costs from you. You know, for those non-participating grants. To the Board of Trade, Mr. Albright, and the owners groups, or group, I should say. I want to give you great thanks for doing this. It has been a long time coming. For years, we've been at the mercy of the region. Things are changing in a good way at the region that we can move ahead with us. So I'm thrilled to see this. I think the Board of Trade's letter indicated 100 jobs pretty much immediately, as immediate as you can get. And Ms. Biesenthal, you were suggesting 100 beyond that. I'll share with you as well that there was a lunch earlier in Ajax that the Premier spoke at, had an opportunity, a couple of us, to speak with the Premier later. They are very interested in connectivity. I mentioned that Curtis Road in the 401, we did not have connectivity, and he and Mr. French, MPP French, were astounded to hear that. So we're going to get a little bit of visibility on that beyond the work that we're already doing with Bell. So with that, I will call the question. All in support? Opposed? And that is carried unanimously. Again, thank you for your efforts. So the next item is 32. Councillor Neal, you have declared on that. So if someone can give me a motion, this was $2,000 for Home Base Durham from the grants. Councillor Hooper, you made eye contact. I'm picking on you. Councillor Jones, you did as well. So moved by Councillor Hooper, seconded by Councillor Jones. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you. Councillor Neal, you are up on item 42.
I believe that's the...
That is the benefit increase charges.
Okay, so just I'll move to receive for information. Move as written.
Okay.
Just have some more questions.
Seconded by Councillor Trail. Again, eye contact. Councillor Neal.
So another body that I sit on just passed their budget, and one of the questions that was, you know, what sort of increases they're seeing in their benefit costs, and it was less than 1%, but I guess they had implemented a sort of a co-pay. So I guess my concern is if we continue to see double-digit increases in benefit costs, we're going to have to do something like that, because we simply can't expect the taxpayer to keep funding that level of increases. I mean, like I said, if it goes up 10% every year, then 7 years is going to double, so it'll go from $10 to $20 million. But I guess one concern I